Hi, my name is Robin McCormick, and I am the Girls FCA Lacrosse Club Director. This podcast is about all things LAX. We wanted to bring you authentic, fresh, and inspiring information from coaches, players, and others in the lacrosse world, giving you the best up-to-date information in the game of lacrosse as it is evolving quickly. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. My name is Robin McCormick, and I am the Girls FCA Lacrosse Club Director. Welcome to our podcast, All Things LAX with FCA Girls. I am excited to introduce our guest today is Kelly McClurkin. Kelly, just a little bit about you before I jump all into it. Kelly is the head women head women's lacrosse coach at Queen's University. Kelly was named head women's lacrosse coach at Queen's in 2022, coming to the roles from High Point University, where she served as associate head women's lacrosse coach. At High Point, she was there since 2017. Kelly was a defender at Towson University. Following her college career, she played three seasons of pro league lacrosse for the WPLL League. And she won on 2019 the WPLL Championship. So tell us a little bit about that, Kelly. Your career, you were at Towson all 4 years. And then the WPLL, I know the Women's Professional League is kind of like changed over and over. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, what an opportunity. I thought my last game of my college career was going to be the last, unless I like played pickup, but just a really cool opportunity, I think, for really the women's game. I mean, we've seen it in the men's game for such a long time, but the ability to go and play at another level and honestly play with people and against people that I grew up watching was really surreal. So like Dana Dobie was on my team. Like that was just really, really cool. She's really good, but she's just like a normal, fun loving person. She's competitive and I just learned so much. But it was just super neat and really cool to be a part of the cutting edge when things were getting started. And obviously now it's it was Athletes Unlimited, and then now it's the WLL. So it's just evolving, but it's cool to see more resources going into women's game.
Amen. I know it is really exciting to see. I know. So you're no stranger to FCA. We were chatting a little before this, but just a little bit about FCA. You know, we have always not just had a club, and our club has been around now 7 years, but we've always had national teams. And I believe you took part in some of playing with, like some of our national teams where girls come from all over and then they meet in Vail or Lake Placid.
Yeah. So I had the opportunity to go to Placid. I think it was my junior, senior year of college, maybe sophomore and junior, one of them. And at that point, I was really just hungry to meet other people my age who were playing college sports, who were hungry to get into the word and just meet fellow believers. And I guess to give you a little bit of background, was choosing between two different schools for college. Really was honestly set on the one. It had a really robust FCA, just was super excited, big time football, thought it was like my dream school. And, you know, within pretty much 24 hours, the Lord changed my mind and led me to Towson. And, never looked back, felt total peace about it. Like I had to go. And it's really cool to kind of to have reconnected with FCA halfway through that career and end up being led to start the FCA at Towson. I think it was my senior year. So just really cool to see how God was working through all of that. But the Placid team was, it was just so wonderful to meet other girls, different teams, and just on the same pathway. It was really cool.
Yeah, I find it's so it's such a great opportunity our national teams to bring like high level play and yet be able to marry your faith and share it openly. And I just find it's a great opportunity. So and then also FCA lacrosse camp. So I think you've come in as a coach for us for a big FCA lacrosse camp.
Yep. Yeah. So I came, I think it was right before COVID hit that summer. So some tw summer 2019, and so cool. I've heard about it forever. I just could never really go with the jobs that I had over the summer, and really jealous that I never went as a camper or a camp counselor. But it was really cool to see it through the eyes of just a college coach going. Yeah, it's a fun week, really fun week.
It is. It's life-changing. I mean, I've always gone as just a volunteer coach, just me wherever you need me. And normally I work with the littles, but it's for my children. I mean, they have really built their faith in an amazing way. And then I think at one point I coached the 2026s, and I think 2 years in a row, every kid on my team went. It was just so sacred. And like, kids love it. And so just a plug for that, we did just release our registration for FCA Lacrosse Camp this July. So please join us. Well, Kelly, I did want to kind of ask you, like, when did the love of like lacrosse, like when did you first pick up a stick? That's always fun to hear, right?
Good question. So I was in third grade at that point. So I'm the youngest of three, two older brothers who played football, basketball, baseball. So I was on the ball field or a basketball court a lot of my life. But lacrosse was kind of cutting edge for when I was my age, and in third grade, especially for the women's game. So parents were thinking long term of like, oh, this could be a really good sport that she picks up. And honestly, I hated it to start. It's like, until you can pass and catch, it's like, what am I doing? I feel like I'm playing fetch. But really, once I got through my first season, and parents encouraged me to stick with it, I think by a time like a year went by, I'm like, okay, this is fun. And I can see things starting to pay off. So yeah, that was when I started. And then that was before, like, I feel like club even existed. Like, I played for Cobra all through middle school. I don't even know if Cobra's still a thing. It's on this now club program. So the sport has evolved a lot since then.
Right. Did you play other sports? Were you a multi-sport athlete?
Yep. So I played field hockey, basketball, and lacrosse all through elementary and middle school. And then in high school, I did field hockey and lacrosse. And then I did like travel club leagues for both.
Okay. And so when did lacrosse become evident that this was the one you were going to continue on with?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I loved field hockey, but I think I always just enjoyed the game of lacrosse maybe like a little bit more. I love the switching of the sport to field hockey. I think that's what I really enjoyed about it. But just the game, I don't know, faster pace, more goal scoring. I think just like a little bit more action. So probably about like recruiting time. So I guess sophomore year of high school is when I chose.
Okay. Yeah, sophomore. So it's interesting because I feel like a lot of people that played lacrosse, I guess you would play field hockey in the fall and then you do lacrosse in the spring, and a lot of those lacrosse athletes were it was a dual thing. You'd played field hockey and then lacrosse. And then I even know my sister went to Towson and her coach at one point coached both. She coached field hockey and lacrosse. And it was just like, I was talking about the evolution of the sport. It's just neat to see. And now, it's hard because everything's so specialized now that it's hard to do that.
Yeah, it is. But here's my plug for the younger girls. It is just play as many sports as you want. I think basketball, especially the fundamentals, translate over to lacrosse. I think there's so many just similarities, but you're going to get to the point in college where all you do is lacrosse. So
Yes.
if you can really, like I won states for field hockey my senior year of high school, and the amount that I learned from that season, but just like the amount of fun, I will always remember that. And if I had just played lacrosse, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. So yeah, there's my little plug. Play all the sports.
Yeah, I had Shelley Clace on, before
Cool.
James Madison. We were talking about, all the joint impact injuries and just, really cross training and making sure that you're utilizing different muscle groups at different times of the year. And the multi-sport is really the kind of solution for that. I would say here's one of my questions for you. How do you see, because we're kind of talking about this, how do you see the sport at the collegiate level evolving? Like, what are the main things that would point, like come to your mind is, oh my goodness, this is evolving and changing so much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there's been so much evolution in our game. Also, with us being geared towards getting into the Olympics. So, with the Olympics in 2028, developing the sixes game, I feel like the biggest thing that we're changing is the pace. How can we make things faster, more viewer friendly if we want things on TV? Like, we need to score more goals. It's like basketball because there's always baskets being scored. So, yeah, I would say that piece. And then something that has changed drastically since I was a player was the stick work. So, like, beforehand, it was like just be able to pass and catch and you'll be fine. At least that's how I felt. But just some of the stick work that some of these high schoolers have now, I'm like, wow, that is really impressive, the different mechanics and stuff. So I think having things more on social media, having more games on TV, it's allowed that access to it. And obviously the big name players and what they can do with their sticks has been cool. But yeah, biggest thing I would say is just pace of the game has changed, and I think the rules are evolving to help us play at a faster pace and score more goals.
Yeah, I agree. And you brought up Dana. I think she is kind of just amazing at how she's really evolved that whole stick work thing, the whole box lacrosse. And she, I believe she grew up in box lacrosse and two man, doing two man. And I just feel like it is a really cool, like, hybrid. It's almost like it's hybriding in. I just watched Towson play. No, not Loyola play Hopkins last night, and the both teams have just strategically just such a different look, like, on the field. But yeah, it's just really fun. I mean, and you're right, the pace of the sport is just it is getting so much faster, and it's just, I love watching it. In recruiting, what are you looking for in a player?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I can't speak specifically to Queens. I would just say that look at the teams, like watch the schools that you're interested, watch their teams play. I think from there you're going to be able to pick up like what does a coach generally look for? Like we're really not supposed to probably speak on that until your junior year of high school. But look at their team and you can see the characteristics. So what I hope you would see out of my team is fight and a willingness to go to battle and win the 50-50 balls, to see passion, to see speed. We like fitness on our team. So I think you can tell a lot from watching a team. And then the other piece of recruiting, I think we observe a lot of things at tournaments. We observe a lot of things at camp. So it's not just how you play, it's how you're interacting with your parents, how you're interacting on the sidelines. So I think too, like a big piece is it's a big commitment bringing somebody into our program. So we want you to be like really awesome people too. And what are you gonna like kind of bring to the locker room? So I can speak on a lot of coaches for that, not just here.
Yeah, so character, really looking at the character of your players and how they're going to impact your program. And that's kind of one of my other thoughts is, like, how do you, Kelly, how do you create the culture, the team culture you're looking for?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was brought up on the golden rule, you treat others the way that you want to be treated. And I think that our girls do a really, really good job here of if something doesn't feel right or it wasn't said right, like we're gonna address it, whether it's a one-on-one conversation of like, did you mean this or that? Like just to clarify, or like cut it out. Like it's not something that we do here. So we talk a lot about that. It's I think culture is a word that's like used a lot because it's necessary. But I would say more so it's just like the integrity behind it. And it's really just like how you treat people. Is the locker room welcoming when you walk in, or are you getting like daggers from the eyes as you walk in, like you're worried that you have something on your face? Like it should be a very, I would say, like a high level of accountability culture, but at the same time, like you feel like you're loved and supported, and people are going to have your back, if that makes sense. So culture is huge. So we always, I think it's really important to spend time with players. Yes, coaches, but when your girls are going on visits, like we'll be your coach. We're not going to be your teammate or your roommate. So I think just for anybody who's listening and going on these visits, like really spend time with the players and ask them about their coaches, like ask them about different, like the good days, the hard days, the most challenging days, and maybe how we respond in those. I think we need to do research on our side, but I think it's y'all's responsibility to do research on your side too.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, keeping kids accountable and making them feel loved and heard at the same time is not the easiest thing. And I feel like, back in the day, I played at Loyola, like what happened in the locker room, there were no phones, there were no things that, it was harder to like, it was easier to keep your culture like together and just you, but now everything's on a platform. So everything's projected out on Instagram. So that gives you kind of an image and a like a branding almost. So, it's interesting. And I think that's probably why culture's being addressed so much, right? And
I think so. You can hide behind a camera. You can also just put out a perception that really isn't reality. And the other big word we use here is being authentic. Like, I want you guys to see, like, what you see is what you're going to walk into if you do end up coming to play here, or like how you're treated as a camper here. Like, that's how you're going to be treated if you're a part of our program. Like, we want you to feel again welcome and wanted and valued. And it's not always the easiest thing because we have 35 girls in a locker room type of thing, but at the end of the day, like, if people are the most important thing, so you have to treat them well. And yeah, just talking through the hard times, because it's life and there will be hard times. So just talking through
amen. Well, speaking of hard times, just the recruiting process in general, I mean, it's just kind of for some of the girls I know on my team, I have about half of my 26s committed, and some are still navigating that process, and it's a grind. I would ask in that process, in the recruiting process, what should kids learn to persevere through and not to be so focused on?
Yeah, that's a really great question. The recruiting process was so different when I went through it. So I was a 2013 grad. So I guess I committed I guess it was November or December of my junior year, so 2011. And I had my dream schools as I was going through the process. Always thought I wanted to go to a big time football school and play, but like, there's only a handful of schools that actually have that. Like, Clemson wasn't even around. And to be quite honest, I thought I always wanted to go far away and get out of Maryland. And it was truly the Lord that led me to Towson, and I never looked back. It was an awesome 4 years. So I would say just like being open. I think it's, you also want to be wanted. So I think like where you feel genuine interest, like, I don't know, it just makes you feel good. So like, don't dismiss a school because of the size or the location. I would say always go and visit, unless there's just a couple of things that you know right off the bat. If you know you can't afford it financially, like, I would say that's probably a reason not to go. But like, other than that, or any other things that your family talks about, like, I would say like go and visit and just be super open to the process. So I would say that's a big recommendation. And then I would say, like, if you have a club director or coach that you can just like be real with and be honest, who's been in the game, who can just kind of give you a list of like maybe target schools that they see. And it doesn't mean that other ones are a no. I just think getting some wisdom from somebody who's been through the process before, that was really helpful for me and my parents as we navigated the process.
Right. Yeah, I feel like I've heard repeatedly now that same type of thing with staying open to the process, and it might start one way in your head and then totally take a turn. And yet you were right down the street, right? I mean, you grew up pretty much, and it was I was in the same boat. I mean, I grew up in Baltimore and then went to Loyola and been at home ever, and yet it was such a great experience. So
It was awesome. I mean, my parents got to come to every game. I think my mom missed one game all 4 years.
wow.
And they were able to be like the tailgate parents, like the team parents. So like, that was cool having them involved. And then you can be as far away from home as you want to be. So even if you go to school 30 minutes away, you don't have to go home. But if you want to go home and do laundry or get a home cooked meal, like, you can. So just having that flexibility that way too.
And for me, at the end of the day, I was thrilled to be able to have my parents at every game. I mean, it made it. I mean, tailgates with the parents were probably one of my greatest memories. Like, we just had such a great group of families that came together. So very,
It's
very
fun.
important. Well, how do you the IWLC profiles, like all the girls are on it. We at for FCA, we start that freshman year just so they can build out their profiles, but then a sophomore junior year they're actively using that. How do you utilize that as a head coach? Is that, would you say we're weighing too much on the looks, and because the girls are like, oh, this coach looked at me, that coach looked at me. How do you utilize it, and what do you think? Maybe we're just looking at it too much, or
That's a really good question. I would say, like, one view, I wouldn't read anything into it in the nicest way possible. Sometimes you misclick. And then, but I would say, if it's like repeated views, like maybe multiple days or by multiple coaches from the same school, I don't know if you have the ability to see that on y'all's end or not, but and then I would say, like, have your coach reach out after that of like, hey, they viewed my profile like 5 times this week. Hey, is this like a legit? Are you actually looking at her, or was this by mistake? I think it's kind of like likes on Instagram. You can read a lot more into a like than maybe it is. So again, we didn't have this when I was recruiting, so it's hard to navigate. But I would say, like, as far as how we use it, I think as most up-to-date highlight film would be great. If you have some full field game film to put in, that's awesome. Personally, highlights are a little bit easier for me, just as far as like sheer like minutes in the day. And then just making sure all your contact info is up to date. I think making sure it's your cell phone that's listed on there, your email, making sure your coach's contact is on there, or recruiting coordinator, whoever you want us to go through. And then the last piece that's helpful is transcripts too, having your most up-to-date transcript on there. And to my knowledge, you have to have a login in order to view all these. I'm permanently signed in, so I think that's accurate. So it's not just some random person that could be looking at your grades and stuff. Like, if you want to block out your address and that stuff, go for it. But just seeing some of these grades, I think, could be helpful.
Well, and I know, like, what you're saying, like, the video is so important, because that's one of the main places you'll go as a coach and want to see those highlights. If you've typically maybe you've heard from them or you've seen them on the field, then you want to go back and you want to make sure you're watching, seeing the film.
And then I would say too, like, it doesn't need to be like a masterpiece of film. Like, if you have your parents have an iPad or just like their own, like, that's totally fine. As long as we can see you, we can see your number. I personally, I don't think you need to spend thousands of dollars on it, as long as it's viewable and you can actually see it. So the music is cool, but it doesn't, we still need to see it play.
Right, exactly. I think that's the most important thing, is to make sure you're arrowed or circled so you the coach can follow, at least start to follow. But yeah, and I like the idea of making sure, I mean, it's a simple thing, but making sure the contact information is up to date. I know in my daughter's one, September 1st, coaches were texting me, and so we switched. So we got that fixed really quick. But any, it's little stuff that actually makes a difference. So make
For
sure
sure.
checking on that, girls. So just a little bit about, what are your favorite moments with your team? Like, what is your favorite, part of coaching, and what do you love doing with your team?
I guess a little bit about my background. Was a finance major. Honestly, thought I was going to go into sales or something and work corporate. And I had a few internships during college. They were great. I learned a lot. But I was also coaching club at the time, and I was sitting in a meeting that I probably shouldn't have been in as an intern. And I was like, what are we talking about? I just need to be on the field right now. I need to be client facing. I need to be just working with people, and loved coaching club, and really just felt the Lord lead me to coaching. So really just used coaching as my ministry. Got my MBA while I was working at High Point, so was able to stay in school too. But it's I would say my favorite thing is just like watching the girls succeed, and they work so hard at something and they work so hard, and just to see them like stick with the process, whether that's a month's work, 3 years' work, like it's just so cool to have those light bulb moments and to see somebody like get it and for their dreams to come true. So I've been blessed with some amazing coaches, and again, just felt really called to get into this role. And I love lacrosse, but I love the mentorship piece of it more. I think if all I did was coach lacrosse, I would actually probably be pretty bored. But I just spend a lot of time with our girls off the field, on the field. It's not always X's and O's. It's really how can I help support you? Like, I've had coaches that help support me, and I think 18 to 22 is a it's a really important time of your life. I would say like you're away from home for the first time in the beginning. You're probably working harder than you've ever worked before, maybe sleeping less depending on your morning practice times. And then by the time you're a senior, you're like, wow, I have to go and be an adult and pay my own bills and go into the real world. So just like seeing the evolution and maturity piece, just using lacrosse for that platform, that's pretty cool. So I started with our current juniors, so we started at the same time, and just to see their maturity over 3 years, and then our current seniors, they were sophomores, just to see them just grow up from 19 to 22-year-olds. They're going to be awesome at whatever they do, and it's just cool to see them as go-getters, and the world's their oyster. They're about to graduate and go take on the world. As long as they stick around and promise to come to alumni weekend, I'm good.
It's so good to hear, because I feel like that is something that could slip through, as we get so, as the sport evolves and we get so fast and focused on the actual sport and the growth of, that piece, like we forget we're with these young women for 4 years, and the coach and their team is like such an impact on their life. And like it brings me to tears, because that was one of the main things for my daughter, who just committed herself this October, was who was coaching her for 4 years. And it's such an impact on these girls, and it could be quite negative, or it could be really just building them up, like you said, to be amazing humans when they get out in the world, to be go-getters, to be CEOs, and whatever they want to be. I think so much is learned on that field. So
So much. Yeah. I think often about like how I was as an 18-year-old, like walking into Towson, and then who I was when I left. And I'm like, that was not the same person. yeah. So it's really cool. And yeah, I feel like a proud little mama sometimes. So it's fun to watch them.
awesome. Well, this is, something passionate to us, but where does your faith come in as a coach with your team? How do you, is your faith?
Yeah, for sure. Like I mentioned before, I'm using coaching as my ministry. To be quite frank, I know I could be making a lot more money uptown in Charlotte working at a bank and sales or whatever. But it's just not where my heart is. I feel like we only have one go around of this life, and the Lord has blessed me so much. And even when things are hard, or like we're in a challenging time with our team, like those are the moments where I just have to continually like remind myself that I need to lean in and let the Lord work through me, that I'm here for a reason, and something that I never shove it down their throat, but it's always a part of the recruiting process. So, if they want to talk about their faith, their religion, go for it. And I'll talk about mine. Again, I'm not going to make you believe whatever, but I just think it's really cool to see, at least at Queens, how Athletes in Action has really just evolved. I mean, it was a thing when I started, and it's just grown so much, especially with our team. And how, yes, they have Bible study, but sometimes they don't even open the Bible. It's just an opportunity for them to come and talk to each other, like as humans and not just lacrosse players, to really get to know one another and support one another for who they are as people. So I would say that has been the biggest thing as far as like how I'm using faith in coaching, is that it's the bigger picture, and planting seeds. And sometimes we see those seeds come to fruition right in front of us, and sometimes we just never know when those seeds are going to grow. But yeah, it's, I would say it's always something. There's always a conversation to be had. There's always somebody to love on or somebody to support. And yeah, just relying on the Lord for the strength to do that, because I'm human.
Amen. Well, I feel like in just navigating the issues and things that come up with young women are so different than even years ago. And there's always going to be that opposition and a lot going on. So it is, a great to be able to share your faith and help them navigate through that process, because there's a lot of difficult times, through that. So. Well, and then this kind of is just kind of a last question is, how do you balance like the grind and talking about opposition or just, I mean, it is, it can be a grind. I guess if we are always in prayer and we're always covering it and giving it to God, it's always so much better, right? But yeah, how do you balance the grind?
I'm still learning. I think I honestly will always be learning. I think my default mode is like kind of suck it up and go and keep working, or like spend an extra hour, spend that extra time. But think that's something that the Lord is really teaching me, of like, what are my limits as a human, because I'm also not God, and letting him teach me through those ways. So recognizing that I can't be available 24/7. So we actually have a rule on our team, like no messages on the phone unless it's an emergency after 7 p.m. To help them plan ahead, but then also to be like, so we can just like relax at night and not have to worry about like, and always be on. So I would say just establishing a little bit of those boundaries, and then just enjoying the time that we have off too. I think that was something I learned as a young coach, of like, when you're off, you're actually off, because when you're on, you're on. So like winter break is usually a time where we're off. Those first 2 weeks in August, we're really off. Right after the season, we're really off. And there's a lot to do in Charlotte, and I still have a lot to see. But just kind of like, if it's an afternoon that I need to take and just go, and even if it's just working at a coffee shop, or going and doing something out of the office, and giving myself a little bit more permission. Because it's hard. It's D1 lacrosse, it's hard, and especially we're in a transition to Division 1, so I feel like at times it's a little bit even harder, just with the kind of all hands on deck mentality to push through this transition. But yeah, so I would say that's still learning. Still learning how to do the grind. And then I think as far as the faith goes, I'm not perfect. I'm also not a huge reader, so I have to be really disciplined with, it might not be 20 minutes of reading, but if it's 5, I'm still getting in the word. Worship is a great way for me just to get my eyes focused on the Lord. And also just like, I think knowing we're so wired to want to be perfect as players, and to want to do everything correctly, and just knowing that we have a gracious God who, like, he's not going to be mad at me if I don't do my reading one day. And if I like don't pray once, like, he knows what I need before I even ask him. So I think just reminding, and constantly, honestly, being reminded through sermons or through friends, of like, you serve a gracious God. He's going to give you, like, you got grace. And we're not perfect. So just being reminded of that. And I'm sure that's for every other job as well. Obviously, I only really know Division 1 athletics right now, but it's a grind, but there's a lot of really cool things in the midst of the grind too.
Amen. Well, I think like you're saying, like if there is a true recognition in your mind as a coach and for the players as well, that like we do need to rest and we do need to we're on and but yet like balance and the whole thing of balance. But even taking moments like you're saying, like time in the word or just a few minutes like in your car with worship or just downtime. I don't think I had anyone really, there's more of the sports psychology, we work with Dr. T like for our athletes and the importance of the mindset and like if we're always racing and we're always on and it does become a grind. There's no human way possible to stop that unless you on purpose take
Mm-hmm.
breaks and really recognize, okay, I'm off here. Like I'm not gonna go just party, 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 because then I'm not really ever resting and
Yep.
regrouping. But I do think this is, I always like to give these questions where it leaves our audience thinking,
Yeah.
how am I, even parents, like how am I going against the grind, because it'll catch up to us, right? And I know some players even, like they play, and they just get with burnout, right? And coaches are in the same boat if they don't really set. And but Kelly, thank you so much for being on. I mean, this has been such great conversation, and I'm excited for your season. It's
Yeah,
ahead of
thanks.
you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's a treat.
Of course. Well, we look forward to watching you out there on TV, right? On
Yes.
TV, getting HBRs. All right. Well, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. You too.